I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From KNX News 97.1 FM,
this is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
48 days left in the transition from Joe Biden to Donald Trump in the White House, when there is never a dull moment. Thank you for joining us in counting down the days to inauguration. On today's Countdown 2024, for California's newest U.S. Senator, Adam Schiff, it all has to feel like deja vu, albeit with a new job and a new chamber. The man who played the starring role of public enemy number one for Donald Trump and all of his supporters from 2016 to 2020 is preparing for the sequel. So we will look down the road over the next 4 years with Senator-elect Adam Schiff coming up. But first, this.
Believe it or not, they are still counting votes here in California. And as a result, there is still one outstanding House race left to call. And that will determine just how slim of a majority Republicans will be working with in the new year. Republican incumbent John Duarte is trailing Democratic challenger Adam Gray in California's 13th congressional district by just a few hundred votes. But that could be enough for Gray to flip the seat. If he does, and taking into consideration the members of Congress who may join the Trump administration, Republicans could have just a one-seat majority in the House.
Senate Democrats are sticking with experience in their reelection of 74-year-old New York Senator Chuck Schumer as Senate Minority Leader and 80-year-old Illinois Senator Dick Durbin as his second-in-command. Now, that's in sharp contrast to Democrats over on the House side, where several younger members are running to oust elderly committee leaders. That includes New York progressive Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is aiming to be the top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee. It is worth noting that there is no recognized national leader of the Democratic Party, at least not at the moment.
And this next headline doesn't concern American politics, but it's definitely worth watching. South Korea's government is in a state of chaos right now after the president declared martial law as part of a long-running fight with the opposition party that controls parliament. Uncertainty now reigns in South Korea, which was a military dictatorship up until the late 1980s, after parliamentarians defied a military curfew to vote to overturn the martial law declaration. So at the very least, know that the United States isn't the only country with what often seems like a broken political system.
Donald Trump has referred to him as pencil neck, shifty Schiff, and as the enemy or among the enemy from within. But here on Countdown 2024, we like to refer to him as California U.S. Senator-elect Adam Schiff. Welcome to the show. Do you have your pencil sharpener ready for the next 4 years?
I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready. Good to be with you both.
All right. We're going to get to a whole bunch of Trump stuff in a minute or two, but let me start very locally. Now that the campaigns are over and all the electioneering and all the campaign promises are behind everybody, what do you expect to be able to do for the state of California, for your constituents, over the next, let's say, 2 years until the midterms anyway, with a Congress that is going to be largely hostile to Democrats?
I hope a lot. The Senate does seem to be a different culture, a different place where people make more of an effort to find common ground across the aisle. There are still going to be very high-profile fights. Some of those may be over nominees in the very near future, but there's still a wealth of bipartisan work that gets done in the Senate. I'm going to look to my Republican colleagues and try to find ways we can work together to bring down the cost of living, to build a lot more housing, to expand childcare, to address the collapse of healthcare in rural areas. A lot of these issues are completely nonpartisan, and the reality is that California and the country can't simply say, well, we're going to have to wait 4 years before we can get anything meaningful done. We need to figure out, how do we do things now? How do we address these very pressing challenges. So that's going to be very much my focus.
But let me ask you in the housing issue, because we've talked about this before and I've talked about it with others. For decades, it seems, all kinds of politicians, left and right, Republican, Democrat, have talked about in California building affordable housing. It really never seems to get done. Why do you think now you are going to be able to help accomplish that?
Well, there's likely to be some kind of a tax package early in the Trump administration. One of the things that I'm going to push for in that package is a dramatic expansion of the low-income housing tax credit. That is something that really works. It helps develop new affordable housing because it makes it pencil out for developers. They get to write off part of their costs. The problem is that the amount to which that tax credit is funded is small. So it is capped, meaning most developers don't get to use it. It's not available. There is bipartisan support for changing it. And the big question is, you know, much of that bipartisan support is Democratic support. Some of it is Republican support. You know, what kind of pound of flesh will Republican leadership require in order to expand the low-income housing tax credit? So I don't want to say it'll be easy, but you know, that's something that should be nonpartisan, bipartisan. Those are the kind of things that we have to look for to incentivize much more construction. And then we need to work with local governments and get them to make the approvals much, much faster.
You talked a little bit about that there could be some fights, if you will, in the Senate with regard to some of the picks that President-elect Trump has made and those Senate confirmations. Do you see the Senate going along with Trump's plan for those recess appointments?
I certainly hope not. I mean, this will be a real test of whether Republican senators are really devoted to their own institution or whether that gives way to this party leader. I hope that the interest that senators have in their own responsibility, in their own role in the system of checks and balances doesn't give way, because if they do, if they allow the president to simply appoint people who would otherwise be non-confirmable because they're flawed or inexperienced or downright dangerous, they're giving away their own check on abuse of the executive office. So I hope not. You know, I would rather see them vote to approve people that I would consider ineligible for office than to see them simply say, hey, President, we're going to give you blanket authority to choose whoever you want.
We are talking with California's newest senator, Senator-elect Adam Schiff. Are you personally concerned about all of this talk about retribution? And among the nominees, you have people like Kash Patel for the FBI, if he becomes the head of the FBI, who is vowing to go after all of the real and imagined enemies of Donald Trump. And I'm sure you are probably on, if not the top of the list, at least the top 10.
Well, you know, I am concerned about it, but less from a personal point of view than what it will mean to the American people. And I say that because if you have an attorney general, as Pam Bondi promises, who is going to try to prosecute people within the Justice Department who were doing their job, who brought evidence before grand juries that the grand juries thought was probable cause of to believe that the former president was engaged in criminal activity, to go after them punitively for doing their job, to have an FBI director like Kash Patel, who is essentially a political troll, but a very much a pro-Trump troll, leading the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and what that will mean in terms of demoralizing the agency, interfering with the public safety mission, likewise going after what he calls the deep state, including Trump's own former Attorney General Bill Barr. It will be a colossal distraction and destruction for the department. When the American people want something done about public safety, they want something done on smash and grab robberies and on fentanyl and other issues, they're not looking for some taxpayer wasting vendetta campaign. And that does concern me.
Are you concerned, like personally, of potentially facing an indictment? I mean, he's talked about that.
You know, look, you can't put anything past the former president, given the choices he's made in Matt Gaetz, which, you know, happily was defeated, but in people like Kash Patel, you can't put anything past them. But, you know, frankly, I'm more concerned about the climate that's been created in the country where violence has become more acceptable. On both sides of the aisle now, you're seeing members of Congress, you know, people in the Trump potential cabinet who are the victim of these swatting attacks. You're seeing, you know, efforts, including potential assassinations of the former president, and threats against members escalate. That to me is one of the gravest concerns I have, just this increasing acceptance of the idea of using violence instead of using elections to decide who should govern and what our policies should be. That's a dangerous turn for the country and one that we have not embraced in the past, and I hope we never do.
Let me throw something at you. I wasn't actually planning to, but because of the events happening in South Korea, and we have, as you know, in Southern California, an awful lot of South Korean Americans, how concerned should they be? How concerned are you that for the first time in decades, there has been a declaration of martial law in what has been otherwise a democratic country, South Korea?
I'm very concerned about it. It certainly appears from the events of the last 24 hours that South Korea is engaged in some democratic backsliding, some serious democratic backsliding. And I don't think we can underestimate the significance of our own democratic backsliding and what influence that has on the rest of the world. During the first Trump administration, you started to hear dictators like Bashar al-Assad in Syria echo Trump when Trump would talk about the press as the enemy of the people. So I think when you see the leader of the free world, which we are doing our own democratic backsliding, it does encourage, incentivize, embolden other people who similarly want to move in a more authoritarian direction.
Adam Schiff remains with us for the duration of Countdown 2024. More with California's newest senator next.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the show. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. While Democrats in Congress in 2017 made opposing Donald Trump their singular goal, you're already seeing a slightly different approach to Trump 2.0. While there has been strong opposition registered to Trump's controversial cabinet picks, progressives like Bernie Sanders are looking to work with the president-elect on issues like capping credit card interest or cutting government spending. The strategy for Democrats this time around is to choose their battles with Trump more carefully.
Our guest himself has seemingly expressed the same approach, not to make everything about Trump. Adam Schiff, California's U.S. Senator-elect, remains with us on Countdown 2024. So, parting for a minute from Trump, we'll go to the current President Biden. His pardon of his son, and I get it. I get that probably anyone who has a son or a daughter who was in any kind of trouble would do anything possible to help them. I get that. On the other hand, as you know, there's been not only Republican but Democratic opposition and concern and disappointment in what President Biden did in pardoning his son because they think it sends the wrong signal and it makes people think, rightly or wrongly, that all politicians are alike, that at the end of the day, they all don't tell us the truth. What do you think?
Well, I'm in very much the category of being deeply disappointed by the decision and think it very unwise and ill-considered. I'm concerned about the precedent it will set. Already the former president is citing it and in connection with the January 6th insurrectionists that he's talked about pardoning. But in addition to how this precedent may be significantly abused in the future, I'm also concerned with, you know, average American families who, like President Biden, have had a family member who's had a substance abuse addiction and run afoul of the law as a result, and thinking to themselves, you know, my son didn't get a break. There was no one to pardon my son or my sister, or my brother or my parent. Why is it the president gets to do that with a member of his family? And it seems deeply unfair. So it deeply troubles me. And Charles, as you were saying, of course, I get it. He is a father after all, but he's also the president. And I think as the president, as understandable as it may be for a father, it was a poor decision and one that could have long-lasting implications.
You talked a little bit about there being, you know, more opportunity for bipartisanship in the Senate. It looks like you've kind of already found a little bit of a way to compromise across the aisle in the Senate with incoming Montana Republican Tim Sheehy. I mean, when it comes certainly to addressing wildfires, not only in Montana, but California, I believe a New Jersey incoming senator as well. What was your biggest takeaway from kind of talking with him during freshman orientation?
Well, in talking to Senator-elect Sheehy, but in talking to a number of current Republican senators as well as Democratic senators, the Senate is a much more entrepreneurial place than the House. You can seek people out. You learn about, hey, so-and-so is really interested in dealing with mental health issues, and this other senator is really interested in wildfire issues. I should seek them out and see if we can find common ground to get something done on this issue. Already, I've been having those conversations, and one of them, as you point out, was with Senator-elect Sheehy about wildfires. He has a lot of experience in that, both personally as well as in Montana. And obviously, we have deep experience, tragically, in California with fire seasons that are burning hotter than ever, starting earlier than ever, lasting longer than ever. This problem is not going away, and finding ways that we can make both our states more resilient, where we can catch fires earlier in their origin and put them down quicker. These are not partisan things, but they're nonetheless hugely important, and I'm going to continue to seek out those partnerships.
You know, a lot of people probably don't know, so this is a very fundamental question for you. So you're now a senator-elect. You get sworn in. What exactly do you do the first day?
Well, the first day...
Or the first week.
The first day, first week, you know, really begins the process of what we were just discussing, and that is finding people across the aisle, finding people on the same side of the aisle that you have things in common with, getting to know them. It's a small place, the Senate. It feels very small, and as a result, you can get to know people pretty well. And if you get off on the right foot and you establish the right relationship from the beginning, it can be incredibly productive. So I'm going to, on day one, week one, and in fact, this process already started, develop those relationships. I've been inviting Republican senators out to lunch and coffee and dinner. I've been doing that with Democratic senators for much of the last year. And so building those relationships that will make a successful legislative agenda possible is what happens on day one.
California's newest U.S. Senator Adam Schiff stays with us to close out today's edition of Countdown 2024 next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Countdown 2024, along with Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
California's U.S. Senator-elect Adam Schiff staying with us to finish out today's show.
Elon Musk, how much of a concern, if any, do you have about him? It seems that every time we see Donald Trump, rather than seeing, say, the First Lady or the future First Lady, we see, I don't know, what do you want to call him, the first billionaire or whatever his title will be?
Well, I have several concerns. One is that I don't want our government to become some kind of an oligarchy where fabulously wealthy people surround the president and are rewarded financially for their obedience to the president. And there are any number of ways where the president can reward or punish, you know, individuals and companies. We've already seen, I think, the effect of it with the Washington Post, for example, with withholding its endorsement of Kamala Harris in the campaign. I think that was a business decision by Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon and the Washington Post. And similarly, the decision by the LA Times to withhold an endorsement may have been the decision of its very wealthy owner not to run afoul of Donald Trump. So you see some self-censorship already, but you could also see the president, you know, awarding contracts or putting his hand on the scale when it comes to SpaceX because he wants to reward Elon, or taking a particular view of tariffs involving electric cars because he wants to reward Elon I'm, you know, concerned about this cryptocurrency that the Trump family is starting and the potential for graft associated with that as a way of, hey, here's a way to directly contribute money into Donald Trump's pocket. So I do have a strong concern that we not turn into an oligarchic form of government. And, you know, that close relationship between Musk and the incoming president should be a concern for everyone.
California's U.S. Senator-elect Adam Schiff, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
Coming up on Wednesday's Countdown 2024, Donald Trump pledged to aggressively use tariffs against perceived trade enemies like China. But his first tariff threats came against old allies, Canada, Mexico. We will try to separate out the facts from fiction in the coming tariff wars. That's tomorrow. If you missed the show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Countdown 2024 and follow the show.